Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Jim, and this is the fun show. Jack, come down. Emily, John, and welcome to the show. Jack, how was your week?
Not bad. It was pretty eventful this week, pretty crazy. We had our very first dusting of snow, but it's all gone, thank goodness. That's fine with me. And it's been crazy goings on all over the world, really, a lot in France and even domestically at home with the crazy Republican talk that surfaced and all that sort of thing. How about your week, everybody else?
Gwen, go ahead, hon.
Well, you know, I'm getting that political fatigue. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Every so often, it just gets so sad because how can people act this way, you know?
I agree.
Too much CO2 in the air, I think. Too many knobheads walking around.
There's definitely oxygen in the property somewhere. I just set this little kind of political cartoon, a man and woman walking down the street. He says, my desire to be well-informed is currently at odds with my desire to remain sane. That's kind of what this election year I think is going to be with me, because all the goofy, nihilistic, every faux pas
xenophobic
of logical argumentation is the tools of this Republican Party's trade today.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Jack.
The amazing paradox of this entire campaign so far has been a seemingly very gifted, brilliant man, Dr. Ben Carson, talking so completely incoherent and stupid during the Republican debates, and his positions are just wacko. And how can a guy that's supposedly so brilliant be so absolutely Neanderthal stupid?
Jack, know what I think?
Hmm.
I think the guy is an idiot savant.
Yeah, I think that's
well,
a good point.
I like that. I mean, when the pyramids, which archaeologists have known, they were burial tombs. They have documentation. They were burial tombs. But he comes out and says they were grain towers.
Well, actually,
it's insane.
I kind of differ with you on that one, Wayne. They weren't burial tombs. The pyramids weren't burial tombs. The burial tombs were in the Valley of the Kings, buried into the land.
Well, yes.
They were like resonation chambers, meditation chambers for Pharaoh. I mean, that's been the archaeology on it, and geology on it for the last 9 years. They know nobody was really buried there. It wasn't a sarcophagus.
Okay.
It was a resonation chamber. That's why those shafts are aligned to certain star systems and stuff. It's just a meditation chamber for Pharaoh.
Well, it was real entertaining to hear one of Carson's main advisors, one of his main foreign policy advisors, bemoaning the fact that he just couldn't get Ben Carson to understand really what's going on in the Middle East. And the guy couldn't coherently name any of our allies. I mean, that's pretty bad for a presidential candidate.
Yeah,
right.
That's
Syria. He couldn't identify Syria or Iraq or Iran or Saudi Arabia or Yemen. None of this on a map. He had no clue of where the most current geopolitical aspects we have to deal with. He had no clue. He's a Sarah Palin.
I know, he is. He's a male Sarah Palin, no doubt about it. He's equally as stupid politically and geographically, historically. The guy, he just doesn't have what it takes in any sense of the word. And he's buffooning the entire public. He's buffaloing the whole public into believing that he is somehow magically good enough to be a presidential candidate. I'm sorry. See you later,
well,
pal.
Well, he is playing the religious, I'm a good Christian, to the religious fanatics, the Christian right.
Yeah.
You know, they still think that the world is only 10,000 years old, You know,
yeah.
everything mm-hmm. that happens, birth, you know, please.
Men
are evil. Some men are evil to other men.
I project this because it's very few times in the last 8 years I've said so, but I thought the president did a good job in Malaysia this week when he tried the Republican Party for their xenophobia and said
sure
that's
did.
Not who Americans are.
Yeah, I agree with Gwen, and there was something else that for the listeners to think about. Anne Frank, the
oh, yeah.
most atrocious historical aspect of
mm-hmm.
Nazi Germany influence on the Belgian Brussels area there,
mm-hmm.
applied for political asylum to come to this country, and she was denied because she was Jewish. And
actually, her father wrote numerous letters to Washington requesting asylum in the U.S., and they were all ignored.
Yes. So, and, you know, when you see...
It's not like that, but, I mean, the things that, like, Donald Trump is saying about putting together an index of Muslims, and the National Holocaust Museum in this country came out against him and the other Republicans for their buffing of the refugees and the atrocity of putting people into index, and you know, it's like what next, a yellow star, and
yeah.
one of the George Takaki, the famous Zulu from Star Trek, who
yeah,
is an actor,
Takai, George Takai, yeah,
yeah,
yeah
Takai. I'm sorry, I don't mean to mispronounce
no problem.
Him. George
That's
Takai,
right. You're doing well.
Right now, doing a play called Independence, I believe. On Broadway, the story of being, as was with his family, interned in a Japanese war prison here in
right.
America in the camp. These things are what we're supposed to grow away from, civics and world history classes in school teaches us these things. But apparently they've been ousted from the syllabus for school now. I don't understand.
Isn't that something?
But Donald Trump was...
Keep going, love.
It's really atrocious things. Plus, a black activist who they show up at everybody's rallies to say Black Lives Matter. They have every right to. And a bunch of the Trump supporters put him down and kicked him and punched him and roughed him up. And then
mm-hmm.
today, on a Sunday, Fox and Friends or whatever, Trump said, well, maybe you need a little roughing up. That was his reply to it.
That
I'm,
was
his
justification.
I'm
just like, yeah.
It's just brown shirts is all it is.
Thank
it's Nazi brown shirts.
Right out of my mouth, Jack. It is
yep.
nothing
mm-hmm.
more than 1930s
mm-hmm.
brown shirt Nazism.
Yep.
You're saying something I don't want to have get out. I don't want to agree with it. I don't want to face it as being reality. So
I'm
going to
silence
you
with my fists and my boots. Yep.
Well,
right.
It's John Bircher's. It's fascism is what it is. It's
yeah.
fascism and nothing short of it. And it's incredible that, I mean, even Feinstein out there in California is suggesting we rebuff refugees. And then 47 Democrats voted for no refugees in the House. They ought to be run out of town on a rail.
I know. It's pretty ridiculous. And a huge number of Republican governors are really coming out against it, even though they don't have the power to deny asylum in their own individual states.
Right.
You know, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
They're so xenophobic, and they're so narrow-minded, and they're so fear-oriented, and they're little clones is all they are, clones of deceit and darkness.
You know, there's plenty of Christian groups coming out speaking in favor of bringing in these Muslim refugees. There
That's
are
right.
a segment of, you know, those who really claim a Christian philosophy and teachings are coming out and saying, this atrocity that's happening to these Muslim women, good working men, trying to raise their families, They need a safe haven. And by denying them entry into this country, we are the ones who need to be hanging our head in shame.
Exactly. And here's Jeb Bush and Ted Cruz both, and I think even Marco Rubio spouted off about how we should only let in Christians, not Muslims, who are Syrian refugees. First of all, how the hell are you supposed to tell a difference between one and the other? That is so preposterously stupid. And on the face of it, it's very discriminatory. It's very ridiculous.
Well,
you know,
and true Muslims, and I know Muslims, I work, you know, there's
right.
some very well-educated that I work with. I know
right.
on personal levels, you know, master's engineering, in electrical engineering, right, will come out and tell you, Christ was a prophet of Islam.
Mm-hmm.
He is considered a prophet within Islam.
They
find the value of the teachings that Christ has passed
mm-hmm.
on.
Right, right.
And it's only
the Muslims everybody's talking about or they're so fearful of are not real Muslims. They're grabbing onto that title just for something for leverage, and they're betraying Islam is what they're doing.
Exactly,
you know,
and that's no different than the fundamental Christians in this country that want
right.
to take up arms and overthrow this corrupt Zionist influenced government. Again, the teabaggers, which is nothing more a new compilation of America, I'm sorry, the Klan and the John Birch Society.
Right. Gwen,
now
you were going
to
say something?
Of teabagger Republic.
You know what I think? I honestly think that until humanity divorces itself from this God thing, where they place their power and their divinity outside themselves instead of an intimate connection to the universe and the spiritual nature of what we are,
mm-hmm.
I think we're always going to have this problem.
Well,
I agree with you.
John Kerry said it best in 2004 when he said, enough of this, I'm paraphrasing this, but enough of this is God on our side thing. Are we on God's side, I think is the way you put it, or vice versa. It made a lot of sense at the time.
Right.
And it's true. I mean, there's a lot of truth in that. This stuff that God's on our side is a bunch of nonsense.
Well,
right.
And each
right.
person has the right to bow their head or to sit posed
or to ignore.
Or float in water and meditate and align with whatever the best of them is and a spiritual
right.
nature, because we are not
right.
made of this rough stuff. We are more than just human bodies. And the problem with most of the people who become fundamental and extreme and fanatical are people who are deeply afraid of losing this crude matter. They have no real faith or belief.
Right. They want to put a fence around everything and control it. That's the whole problem. And you can't control these things. You've got to accept what is presented before you as fact, and what you can't understand, you've got to allow a certain amount of deference to just respect that it exists. You know, you can't just try and deny it or put a fence around it and control it. It's uncontrollable. So they should really grow up spiritually, mentally, morally, in all aspects, and just be more accepting and less fearful.
Well, Jackie, that's one of the reasons why I find a lot of value. I find a lot of comfort. I found a lot of my spiritual inwardness belonging to the Freemasons because it's a Christianity. Catholic,
uh-huh.
Methodist, Baptist, Southern Baptist, Pentecostal.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter if you're Jewish. Doesn't
right.
matter if you're Muslim. Doesn't matter if you're a Hindu. It's the
mm-hmm.
fraternity of man.
Right.
Well,
go ahead, Gwen.
The Freemasons are also in their highest ranks, the above cabals and whatnot, understand the animus of man and humanity and understand that it is our nature to be God. And
mm-hmm.
they have very evolved thinking on it that was directly derived from the most ancient of our myths, and that would include
right.
the ancient Egyptians, the ancient Sumerians, and even borrowing a little in the 19th century walkabout from the Far East. So I mean, I know that most Freemasons are deep thinkers. They transcend the
Yeah, that's the very that's what we are. We're very critically thinking, introspective. And also,
and
too,
then there's the Scientologists.
Oh, I don't know. Do we want to open that door? Do we really want to open that door? Well, yeah, as we know, many of our founding fathers were of the Freemason fraternity.
Very true.
And the lessons that you go through, the work that you go through, and to get your degrees and everything, and the words of all men are created equal, freedom of religion, freedom of speech, wasn't just made up right there in Philadelphia with the Continental Congress and those who worked on it. Those values were hundreds of years old from the values of Freemasonry.
They were spiritual explorers and scientists.
Exactly.
And you know what's interesting, if you think about it, all these people, early creators of this stuff, were pioneers, because the ideas that they came up with had certain universal appeal and certain special appeal just to them and their own people. But what they said and what they created was adapted, and that's the beautiful thing about America. We do adapt things. We not only reject things at first, it takes us a while, but eventually we'll accept them, and then we'll adapt them, and we'll make a better nation because we have adapted and accepted them.
Well, Jack, that's a very profound statement. It's one of my, and reminds me of one of Winston Churchill's famous quotes. He says, "Americans will always do the right thing. Problem is, they always try everything else first."
I love that. And that's about right.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Wayne, but I think he was talking about the martini mixing on this side of the pond.
Oh, maybe that's what it was. Oh, I do love you guys.
He was a very, very colorful character, and he had a lot of great insights that were very kind of double entendred, you know, which is kind of neat.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and we don't see that kind of leadership in either party or anywhere on the American political scene today. Very rarely does that come up. And it's really
like,
regrettable.
Well, I have to say that Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders comes a good close to that kind
comes
of free thinking.
That
open
that's very true. Well, they're deep, profound thinkers, and they don't accept the status quo. They want to change it, like Bobby Kennedy wanted to do. You know?
Absolutely.
You can't bottle up these progressives forever. Eventually, their ideas come forth, and they benefit humanity, the entire country, the whole world. And you can't keep them cooped up forever. Eventually, at least part of what they are preaching or what they're advocating will come into being, and we all welcome that day whenever it happens and if ever it happens.
Jack, as you well know, I've stated many times and have written many times, the progressive mindset will eventually win out. The root word of progressive is progress.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly, right.
And that's what
that's the root. That's the root of it all, yep.
Exactly.
Right. So, good point, Wayne.
I still like to think of myself anymore as just activist and active.
Oh yes. Well, yes, absolutely, and that's very crucial. Look at what great activists we've seen just in our lifetime: Rosa Parks, Martin Luther King, even H.R.A.P. Brown, and Stokely Carmichael. Yep. Michael played an active role. Yep. And advance the cause of Black Power and all that stuff. It's we've seen a lot of great things. We've seen, you know, even LBJ in his own way was an activist kind of president. He advanced the civil rights platform that John Kennedy first proposed, and Hubert Humphrey had a hand in. And there's always room for progressive ideas and progressive action, and that's part of why we are all activists in our own way, the recent movement, the mass demonstrations in New York and Occupy movement and all that stuff. I mean, it's all part of the program, because you can't hold down an idea. You can try to stop it, but you can't. You're never going to be successful.
Did you all hear about what Anonymous has been doing for the last week?
Gwen, yes, I have. But go ahead. You tell everybody.
Well, I just know that they've been targeting and shutting down ISIL sites on the net and on Twitter.
Great.
Right. Yeah.
Because those are sites of darkness that have no good meaning for anybody, and they're just bad, period bad.
Again.
And, you know, we had some flack coming up from the right wing on the major networks this past week about blaming Edward Snowden for the Snowden has blood on his hands for the supposed massacres in, or the supposedly for the massacres in Paris. He had no connection with them whatsoever, and that is such a distortion. And it's typical right wing nonsense that Fox News and even CNN has played party to. It's disgusting. Even MSNBC. Good God.
I know.
Yeah. Well.
It's corporate media gone berserk.
Well, they were also. I think Jack, you had left me a message about that incredible interview on Democracy.
Oh yes. Amy Goodman had almost a whole hour of Glenn Greenwald speaking to her from Brazil, where he's in Rio now, and he just refuted all this nonsense. And you can read his stuff at theintercept.org. He's got a big article there about all this nonsense that the right wing is peddling and using American media to portray. And he points out point by point how blaming Edward Snowden for this massacre is insane. And prior to Edward Snowden, he gave a lot of examples of other acts of terrorism that had absolutely nothing to do with what Snowden did. All Snowden did, and it wasn't Snowden revealing this information. He turned it over to major publications around the world, the New York Times,
yes.
The Washington Post,
yes.
Le Monde
right.
in Paris, all these different newspapers, and he let the editors of those newspapers decide whether or not to reveal them to the public. So Snowden isn't the bad guy that everybody thinks he is. I think myself he's a hero. I really do.
Mm. I do too.
You know, there's Arthur Schopenhauer. He was a mid-1800s German philosopher. And one of my favorite quotes that he said was, "All truth passes through three stages. Mm-hmm. First, it's ridiculed. Second, it is violently opposed. Mm-hmm. And third, and last, is it is viewed as being self-evident."
Yep.
It's like, oh, yeah, everybody could see that, right? Yeah, no, it
oh,
has
very
to go
true.
Through all these steps. So.
Yeah, that's right, and it has happened in our lifetime on a number of different issues, and
exactly.
It will continue to. It's just human nature for people to be so afraid of it and don't want to have anything to do with it and deny it. And well, climate change is another good example. There are finally
exactly.
people are starting to accept the fact that it's actually real, that it's man-made caused.
The facts
and,
are there. The
and it's dangerous, and we've got to do something about it.
And Jack, let me give you another example. We went to war on a lie, weapons of mass destruction, et cetera,
oh, yeah.
et cetera. Daddy
mm-hmm.
Bush told Goofy W, said, "Don't go in there. You break it, you're going to open it.
Right.
You're going to destabilize the whole region by
right.
going into Iraq again."
But Cheney was in control.
That.
Cheney was
and
in control,
Daddy
and Cheney
Bush
directed
him. Daddy Bush book saying, Dick
yep.
Cheney and Donald Rumsfeld screwed my boy over. Now, the problem
yep.
is the buck does stop with my boy because he was the president.
Right.
But from the advice of these oil-influenced corporations,
mm-hmm.
seeing an opportunity, thinking they're seeing an opportunity to grab all the Iraqi oil wells is the reason why this country went in. Daddy Bush
yeah.
is stating that now in a book himself, and his golden years.
Exactly.
Many
yeah.
of these conservative Republicans, on their deathbed, who was the one out of South Carolina they called the dirty tricks guy? I'm drawing a blank on his name.
Oh, he wasn't a politician, but he was behind. He died of brain cancer some years ago.
Yes, right.
Atwater.
Well, when he was dying of brain cancer, he knew that he was going to have to. Lee Atwater
yeah.
knew he was dying of brain cancer, he mm-hmm. called everybody who he had done wrong,
right.
including Willie Horton.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, and he apologized.
Right. He was right and apologized to them for
yep.
being an ass. So,
yep.
yeah, when
mm-hmm.
it comes time, you know, oh, yeah, you're good Republicans, you're good conservatives, but when the bottom line comes that you're getting ready to meet your maker and have to justify what you did in your life,
right.
then that's when a lot of them go out and start making amends.
You know, Lee Atwater was really active during the first, the so-called Republican Revolution in 1994, he was very active behind that, and when he finally died, he regretted a lot what he had done, rightfully so. And, you know, Karl Rove is going to meet his maker someday, and he's going to have to do the same thing, or he's going to suffer the perils. Okay. That guy, he's
sure
been a
Dick
master liar for many years.
Absolutely. I'll give you two other examples within our time. George Wallace, the very racist ass, right?
Right.
Also, Asa Carter, who was nothing but a Klansman who had a radio show spouting basically Rush Limbaugh stuff, only it was all the black people's fault, you know, the very racist Klansman.
Mm-hmm.
When he was coming up to his golden years, both of them said, you know what, we were very wrong in what we did there, and we need to apologize and make amends for all that hatred speech that we had. Unfortunately, though, there's many in the Tea Party who are still living by those words today.
Well, they're not very smart people. They don't delve into it that much. They accept, as face value, the preachings of Rush Limbaugh and Glenn Beck and all those other non-knowing idiots that speak intelligently but aren't.
Asa Carter's radio show and George Wallace's political rhetoric is what Rush Limbaugh, what's the
precursor.
Other one up there that...
The precursor.
Right. They were all the precursors to what is
going
on today.
And Martin Downey was that way in late 70s on TV.
Yes, yes.
He was a pioneer of that nonsense right-wing crap, you know.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, again, people have got to live and learn, and then when they get down to their golden years and they have to reflect back to what they did in their lives, then that's when they start saying, probably should start making amends on this because
it's safe to say that in any given age, you will have your extremes. You'll have brilliant thinkers, profound and progressive people that are leading the way, great activists. You'll have, on the other hand, diametrically opposed to them, very fearful, reactionary, conservative types that are just, disgustingly fearful and warmongering and dark kind of people, and you'll have the vast majority of in-between people who really get swayed one way or the other, and it's up to us to keep swaying them in the correct direction. That's all we can do. That's why we're fighting on this front every week.
I think you're nailing it, Jack. Absolutely.
Yep.
And here's the other thing that my observation is. The very simple mind, the weak-minded, those that don't think anything through, run more on emotion and gut knee-jerk reactions, are the ones that are most fearful of change.
Right. And they're more susceptible to the loudest voices, too, and most repetitive voices.
Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly. They can be easily misled.
It's incredible, isn't it? All that CO2 in the air is wreaking all this havoc. That's what I think. Anyway, we got to get this atmosphere cleaned up, man.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. So. But again,
now,
Hillary
Clinton made a very brilliant pronouncement this year on fighting ISIS and all that stuff, or this past week. And Bernie Sanders, he made a very far-reaching, profound argument detailing a lot of his platforms, and the major media all ignored all of it. It can be found at sanders.gov. And I encourage people to go there and see what his program is all about, because it is quite attractive and it's quite doable, really. But he's ignored completely. He's marginalized completely by the media, mentioned in passing, and then they drop him right away. They're so fascinated with Hillary right now. And it's just a disgusting thing about our corporate-owned media that they're so against him because he's so anti-corporate, you know?
Well, I got it. That's for sure, Jack. That's for sure. But I have to say that it was disappointing at the last debate to hear him make two broad sweeping statements, sentences at the beginning of the debate on foreign policy, and then bring it all back to domestic issues where he has, huge hammers to pound with. And Secretary Clinton, on the other hand, knows where the bodies are buried, and she's a bit more hawkish than Obama is right now.
Oh, yeah,
I think
absolutely.
Right.
I absolutely.
Think she's seeing what she feels are the giveaway points and what might plug the holes to the failures of their advancements, Stisel, so far.
Mm-hmm.
I know. But I know she was a hell of a lot more clear.
Oh, yeah.
And then she also had to defend herself with that, you know, Wall Street backing. She said, you know, well, as a senator from New York, when 9/11 hit, I did a lot of work to help rebuild, and so there are ties there that are supportive and not cuckolding, is what she was saying. But Sanders wasn't
right.
having any answers. I think most of us think a la-di-da, too.
Yeah, she, actually, you know, Gwen, let's put the kettle where the fire is. Hillary Clinton
yeah.
is out campaigning, although he's drawing bigger crowds and he means a lot more to a lot more people. Hillary Clinton is out campaigning Bernie Sanders at this point, and she's getting not
mm-hmm.
only the attention, but she's getting a lot of the airplay and all that stuff too. And I think she's going to parlay this into a successful run for the presidency. I think she's going to win the nomination, and I think it's
right.
going to happen. In the meantime, you got the also-rans, which are primarily Bernie Sanders, but also Martin O'Malley, that are off in the wings. But, you know, the
mm-hmm.
nice thing is they are both pushing her further left, and that's a good thing, at least in her campaigning.
Yeah.
But now
right.
she's come out against the TPP, which is a great thing, because the TPP
right.
is the most dire thing that could ever happen, and we've got to stop
right.
that.
Of course, yeah. this is just political expediency towards the election, Jack. We both know that.
I know, but, you know, it's once you've come out so strongly against something, to immediately go 180 degrees, that's not too likely. I think it's
yeah.
a good sign that she's coming out as strong as she is against the TPP and expressing
too.
Her reservations. I'm supporting that all the way. And, you know, that's what we've got to do. We've got to hammer away at this TPP. I've been telling everybody I know, and hardly anybody knows about it, I've been telling
mm-hmm.
everybody to go to tradewatch.org and look at all the reasons that the TPP is a devastating thing, and we cannot become part of it.
No, absolutely, Jack.
Quite true. Well, what the Tanyaks are doing is they're selling America out from underneath itself. We'll be a third world
country oh, yeah.
by the time.
Absolutely, right. We will be economic drones, slaves.
Yep, we will.
Nothing more
yeah,
than a brick in the wall.
Yep.
Well, that's why it's up to American citizens to pick up with that pioneer spirit, entrepreneurial spirit, and make their own living out there in the world the way they can. And a lot of it has to do with the same thing we're on right now. I mean, there's a lot of folks that are living at home doing business. There's a lot of folks
yep.
that use in the
right.
business.
Localization versus globalization.
Yeah, well, it's becoming, it's sustaining your immediate community, but also trading globally. Yeah.
Right.
Right, exactly.
Here
right.
in Minneapolis, they just authorized the existence, they made legal the existence of what they call tap rooms. And that's where local brewers can make for sale, on sale and off sale, their own
yeah.
Brews and all that sort of thing. And it was banned here for a long time, but now it's becoming a rage, and they've finally legalized it here in Minneapolis, which I applaud them
well,
on. That's great.
I was gonna
and
say.
That's an example of how, on a
yeah.
small scale, you can compete with the big boys. Big beer
well,
sales are leveling off.
Matter of fact, Columbus is a good example. We have a Budweiser factory right here, but within Columbus itself, the microbreweries are exploding. And when somebody goes
here,
to the bar,
right.
they're not getting that Budweiser on tap. They want that
listen,
microbrewery.
Right.
I just spent from year 2000 to the year I was there until 2005, and I worked right down the street from a Harpoon. Boston is a town of a lot of microbreweries that have found huge success, like Sam Adams.
Mm-hmm.
There are microbreweries that are sustained by local communities all over the place. We've got like 8 of them around here.
That's great.
Right.
That's really good. And that trend is growing, and I encourage that. And, you know, the big beer manufacturers, number one just gobbled up number two, and they're going to control roughly 70%, at least for a time, of the beer market, and that's a bad move. And I think it's going to be short-circuited by the resurgence of microbreweries because people are sick of the same old swill, the same old corporate nonsense. They want something more creative, a little different, you know, more suited to their own tastes.
Is Miller is part of Anheuser-Busch, Jack?
It's just been gobbled up by Anheuser-Busch, which also controls
up,
Coors, which also controls Grolsch, which also controls a bunch of them. You know, major,
and
most of the major beers on the market.
Bought all of them?
What's that?
Wasn't it a Belgian company that bought all of them?
Yes, that's right. Yep. Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, maybe that's a good thing, but as far as brewing goes, because I've got to tell you, there is nothing worse than that Panther Piss they call Miller Lite.
Coors Light is worse than that.
I was going to say, my daughter calls Coors beer dog water.
Water has more alcohol in it than Coors Light.
Yeah, no. She says dog water.
Yeah, dog water.
Yeah.
It's flavorless. It's no good. And it's originally brewed by a very reactionary Republican. Adolf Coors is a terrible man.
Yeah.
Going there with you.
Sorry, people that love Coors, I don't share your taste, but that's okay. They're a different taste. Yeah. But you need to know the founder of that company was a really bad redneck.
Right. I tell both of my daughters and my wife, I said, I had to be 60 years old before I found out what real beer should have tasted like when I came out to Columbus and started tasting a little bit of these microbrewery beers around here.
Yeah.
It is a whole different genre. It's real beer.
Yeah.
Do you know what one of the customs is if you stay with the family in Denmark? You're going to go over, you stay with the family in their home. One of the customs is the first night of dinner. They buy bottles of beer from all their breweries, put them in the icebox, and then offer them lagers and everything. Give them to you at dinner. It's a big tasting. They're proud of their beers, and
they should be. Tuborg Gold's a very good beer. It comes to mind.
God,
a number of them are very good.
Excellent beers. Excellent. And Denmark has quite a few small microbreweries too.
They do.
Yep.
They really do. So,
that's
a good trend. It's a great trend, and I encourage it. And piss on Miller and Bud and all those ones that have dominated the American market for so long and sold us so short in so many ways.
Also, too, let me interject here. With all the little microbreweries brewing around here, like on every block and, every little bar and tavern, some people, alcoholism has not just surged or anything like that. It's like, and kids aren't getting it, when they legalize the local brewing and manufacturing of beer. There's not been the socioeconomic aspect of there became more alcoholics because of it,
it's a tradition that has long been a part of individual cultures, and it's flourishing once again, and thank God for that.
You know what I've noticed, Wayne? I've noticed
what's
that the real drunks are drinking Panther Piss.
They're drinking what?
They're drinking Panther Piss, like Pabst Blue Ribbon and Miller Lite.
Oh yeah.
Well, remember the was it Merle Haggard? Red Necks and White Sox and Blue Ribbon Beer was the line in the song, right?
The most
redneck song ever made, right?
Yeah.
You mentioned Blue Ribbon, Pabst Blue Ribbon, PBRs.
Yeah, PBRs, that's right, yeah.
It's
brewed in La Crosse, Wisconsin, I believe.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Yeah, which is down by Rochester, Minnesota.
Bo Cephas doesn't even drink an American-made anymore. He's drinking, I think they were photographing him with either Amstel or, of course, Bob's beer. One of the best beers I had when I was younger was St. Pauli Girl.
St. Pauli Girl,
yeah.
Yeah, they're a great, great brand. You know, it all boils down to this, folks. You know, we've been immersed with this globalization nonsense for so long, and all it's done is it's exploited workers overseas. It's undercut American workers here in this country, and it's a devastating phenomenon, and it's being slowly but surely threatened, and I hopefully will be replaced by localization rather than globalization, because globalization benefits a few rich individuals and bankrupts everybody else, whereas localization provides all kinds of opportunity for smaller entrepreneurs to grow, you know. So I'm all for
it. Jack, that's a very good point.
Jack,
go ahead, Glenn. Go ahead.
A lot of the small companies that support a local community by giving them work are also basically selling on a global level, which is what I think is a really great idea. Very small, everywhere on the planet. Let's trade.
Right.
Let's do it.
That's really good.
Screw the government.
Yeah, you know, trade is great, but monopolies are terrible. And there have been far too many monopolies. So much corporate greed has gobbled up other corporations. In the very beginnings of corporations, they were forbidden from buying and owning other corporations. But that was thrown out the window a long time ago, regrettably.
Well, the antitrust bills have been
exactly. They've been ignoring.
Let me give you
them.
Another good example. You know, the biggest import that the United States is providing to China right now, one of the biggest imports, is baby formula, because.
Mm-hmm.
The baby formula that was manufactured in China, basically they were putting crap in it that was unhealthy and really poisoning the children. Mothers,
right.
for the health of their babies, did not trust the Chinese formula. They wanted the American formula, which was costing them a whole lot more, but they knew the health of their child was there.
It was healthier
Now let me expand one more thing here, and this has just been passed. A lot of the meat processing companies, and I don't care if it's beef, cattle, pork, is wanting to take the raw cattle, the animals here, ship them to be processed over to China, and then they'll import the packaged meat back into this country.
Mm-hmm.
There's all kinds of health problems and health concerns I see flags waving on this one.
China doesn't give a damn. They just want to do as much as they can and make as much money as they can. They're uber capitalists in many ways, and that's bad, really bad for the whole world, really, and especially
for
us.
No OSHA, no environmental, no health in the meatpacking industry.
Anything goes.
None of these rules are there. We have
it's
them here.
It's pure anarchy. It's libertarianism gone wild.
Since before the turn of the century, they knew that we needed regulations in our food processing aspects.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, you know, instead now they're going to bypass that because that costs too much money. Now government inspectors looking at the chicken processing line.
Yeah.
We'll just send it over to China, let them process it over there, and then we'll just ship it over here.
The deregulation crowd has had their sway for so long, and they've lost complete credibility with me in all areas. We need more regulation, and not just for the sake of having regulation, but we need sensible regulation, and it's out there, and it should be happening instead of being defeated and turned away and turned into deregulation. That's a very, very bad philosophy.
Jack, let me regress. I want to go back to climate change here.
Yes.
We were talking about it. As we all can remember, when the emails and the memos and the documentation that the tobacco industry was manipulating nicotine,
but they had
their marketing firm saying, there's no link there. You cannot give me any scientific link between cancer and cigarettes and nicotine.
Oh, exactly. Yep.
Right. Well, they've now... Someone has now, who is doing all the climate research for ExxonMobil back in 1977, they've got the emails where the oil industry knew
and
climate change and the CO2 was an issue. And in these emails, the very first things they did was start hiring these exact same marketing firms of the disinformation to keep things going since 1977.
Right.
State's Attorney General in New York State is now looking at, basically he's basing his lawsuit on, you have stockholders, you knew this information that would have been detrimental to the stock of your company, and you proactively and intentionally with malice hid that fact. That
right.
is a crime to your
yes,
stockholders.
You know, another thing that in that same kind of vein, four new whistleblowers appeared this past week. I saw them on Democracy Now!, Amy Goodman's
yeah.
great program. They denounced our drone program, said it's an absolute failure, and that it's actually creating resentment. We all knew this anyway, but creating resentment. And these were four big proponents or big players in the drone warfare industry or, you know, practitioners of it. And they all came out against it all at once and said, hey, it's detrimental. It's going to draw more people to ISIS than it'll kill. It's just a bad thing. There's so much collateral damage. And, boy, was that refreshing to see those kind of guys come out and speaking their minds very courageously. I applaud them for that.
Now, I wonder, now, where I want to extend this is how much, now, personal attacks, personal devastation
yeah,
these
we
corporations
don't know.
Now will inflict on these people
guys.
For blowing this whistle. Cause
yeah,
that,
or will
you
they
know,
suffer
not,
any...
You can't
any,
attack the message, so you attack
right.
the messenger.
Oh, exactly, and they're very good at that.
I have seen that in the playbooks when I was fighting environmental problems forever and ever. It
mm-hmm.
is the attack one. If you can't attack the message, you start attacking the messenger.
Right.
Jack, weren't those guys drone pilots?
Drone what?
Drone pilots. Weren't a couple of those guys drone pilots on Democracy
yeah, they
Now?
They were. They were, exactly, yeah. They were practitioners of it. They actually dropped the bombs. And one guy was saying, I know on my very first one I got all kinds of applause for doing it. And I know he said, I know I killed 13 innocent people and didn't get the guy I was supposed to be getting. And, you know, there's so much needless death. And it's just – And Obama's just picked this up and has been using it at a record rate. And it is for every one guy that he wants to get and does get, hundreds and hundreds of other people, innocent people, get killed or maimed. And it's just it's indefensible.
Yeah.
We've lost our minds in this war on terror. We've gone crazy. We've gone absolutely nuts. We're so obsessed with it. We're so militaristic these days. Christ almighty, you go to a stadium, you got to get checked like you're a terrorist yourself. You got to go through metal detectors. I mean, it's gone crazy. It's just insane. You got to take old ladies got to take their shoes off before they board an airplane. Give me a break. It's just we've gone overboard on this stuff. We've gone absolutely wacko. And we've got to stop this nonsense.
Hey, Glenn, you might remember this. There was it was a psychology experiment done in the 60s. I remember having the class, and they were talking about it, where basically a professor, these were volunteer students, some were jailers, others were to be the prisoners in the jail. And, you know, and left to its own evolution, its demise, you know, pretty soon the jailers were wearing mirrored sunglasses so you couldn't see their eyes. They were, and the abuse to the prisoners, their fellow students, just exponentially exploded.
Well, yeah, and the abuse of power and power corrupts, yes.
Yes,
but
yes, right. And was it Stanford?
I think
one of the big universities.
California.
Right.
It began in California. But
right. So,
when I was in school, I participated because I was taking what they call psi science now. They call parapsychology back then, and we were doing a lot of that. You know, psychic reinforced with the electric shock with I was one of the people who was picked to be the shocker.
The card
layer. And
right.
I quit after three
Good
times.
Good for you.
I simply couldn't reinforce. First, I'm an empath and I feel it anyway. But It was a ridiculous notion in my mind. But I will say this on the science side of things, when considering the use of extra sensuality. It always happens to people who have some kind of trauma to the head that opens more brain or turns more brain on.
Right.
And it has nothing to do with retention or creativity. It just means people are working with, and that's what psychics, whatever, have in common.
Well, and the point I was trying to make was those that were doing the shocking, they were disassociated personally with those who were supposed to be shocked because they couldn't see them. All they could hear them was screaming. They're like, oh, no, you got that one wrong. They would turn up the voltage and hit them again. And pretty soon, and the people knew that I'm getting past this red line. Now I'm really doing serious damage to this, but my instructor here has told me I must push this button.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The drone pilots are being disassociated with the victims on the ground.
Yep.
And it's the same scenario. They will go ahead and do it.
On a related topic, let's look at the rise of the private prison industry in this country and how abusive it's turned out to be, and it's all for profit. The CCA should be absolutely disbanded immediately. What a horrible, horrible concept, a horrible corporation. And anybody who profits from that, I tell you what, they ought to be thrown into a big boiling pit. They're bad people.
Jack, there was a judge in Pennsylvania that was just found guilty for taking bribes from the prison corporations for giving extended and amount of prison time because they had more money in the for-profit prisons, and it was kickbacks to him for assigning the sentence.
Yeah, exactly. Just terrible. Right. And that's what happens when money enters into too many areas.
That judge needs to be put in general population and let justice be served as it comes down. And all those who he had found guilty need to be released from prison.
Well, it's shown you how preposterous has been our course in becoming so corporatized and so... We're just immune to the effects of this greed and what it does to people and what it does to normal people and what it does to the victims. We've created victims. We are supposedly a free society, but we have more people per prison in this country than they do in all of China and all of the rest of the world. It's unbelievable the amount of people we are imprisoning. It's insane.
Exactly.
And we're the land of the free. Give me a big, big, big break.
Okay. And
it's nothing to be proud of.
Corruption.
Nothing to be proud
corruption.
Of. We are better than this. We've got to prove that we're better than this. We've got to get rid of all these for-profit prisons. It's insane.
Going to privatize government. That's the problem. There's problem. There's too much government in government. We need to privatize it all.
Yeah,
I heard that
horrible...
through the whole 90s back home in Dorchester, Maryland. And that turned into the most calamitous, corrupted aspect. It destroyed that county. Those who are hollering for privatization.
Where they're doing it
did
more
damage to our county than anything.
Well, look what it's done to Kansas. It's bankrupted the state of Kansas. Wisconsin's going to follow suit. Scott Walker's doing a horrible job over there. And thank God he's in his last term. He'll never be able to run again. We got to make sure a like-minded goofball just like him does not get elected there ever again.
Right.
Because
you're going to be battling the money of the Koch brothers.
Oh, God.
And
yeah.
I think there's some pretty feeble-minded, I was first liberal, so I'm a conservative, so I'm going to vote for the next wing nut. This aspect has destroyed that state.
Well, you do need government, and post office is another example. Oh, they're complaining about, FedEx can do it faster and better and UPS and all that stuff. I'm sorry. The post office delivers to every single address in the country. No other entity can claim that. Not only that, the post office would be a very profitable institution were it not plagued with this horrible law that was passed in 2006 that they'll be doing away with next year. They'll have gone through it successfully, although they ran red for quite a while. But they have to fund it 75 years in advance. No other agency has to fund this. 75 years in advance anticipated pension programs for their workers. How utterly insane. It was just a deliberate attempt by the Republicans to destroy a federal institution, you know?
Absolutely, sir.
And since the earliest days of this republic, it was a government-run post office. Benjamin Franklin created it, and it's been great ever since.
Exactly.
Right. Right.
So, the other thing, too, is when they put together the funding to modernize the post office during Goofy Bush's, W. Bush's era,
mm-hmm.
and he goes to sign the bill, he put a rider on there. You know, it used to be the mail was the sacred thing. You could not open it without a federal warrant from a judge for any
right.
kind of suspicion.
Yeah,
w.
probably
Bush
as part of the Patriot Act.
Says, right, exactly. Under the Patriot Act, and with this new funding to modernize it, I also see this as also means that we can open up any damn mail we want to at any given time. Talk
yeah,
about your use of the power.
You know, that guy, he was a traitor to really to the Constitution, all these constitutionalists out there. George
Thomas
W. Bush
Jefferson.
And Dick Cheney and Don Rumsfeld are all guilty of it. Every one of them should be in a long jail sentence, you know.
Jefferson,
because they're,
Monroe,
oh,
all,
yeah.
those founding fathers are rolling over in their grave right now saying, how in the hell did
this
American
ever happen?
Population allow
right.
this to happen? We had
exactly.
these rules in there for a reason. We insisted
right.
that they had to be because they knew
yep.
that unchecked, the government would go astronomically on steroids, you know, abuses. And
abuses.
W. Bush, Dick Cheney, and Rumsfeld, well, that's why they're war criminals.
And here's
the
so-called party of limited government, expanding government reach to the to an absurd level that actually does violate individual freedoms, and they're supposedly the safeguarders of our freedom. I'm sorry,
yeah,
no, you're another lie. You know,
they
all
no,
those guys were traitors
in
to the American institution, to American government.
Yeah.
They are traitors, and they shouldn't be listened to ever again. And their likes should be banished from government.
That's true.
Yeah. No, we're at the end of the hour, I guess, aren't we?
Yeah, it's time.
Yeah,
to
well, this has been a good show, guys. I have really enjoyed it. We've passed on a lot of good information. I hope the listeners have taken notes. I mean, we are on a podcast. Replay it. Listen to it again. Catch everything we've passed on, because we've passed on a lot of really good information that needs to be disseminated out. Tell your friends.
Yes. Go to TradeWatch.org and look at how dangerous the TPP is. And while you're doing that, just remember to always keep pushing forward.
Agreed.
Thank you, gentlemen, for
Glenn.
And
yeah.
that's our show tonight, and we'll be back with you next Sunday evening at 6 p.m. on the Sunday show on Here Be Monsters. Jack Jodell, F. Wayne Johnson, myself, Gwen Berry, we thank you for listening and hope you will join us again.
Talk to you next
Good
week.
Night, all.
Have a great week, everybody, and keep pushing forward. Bye-bye.